place where agony is not endured, but inhaled. Thick in the air like smoke. The shadows seem to embrace you, yet their touch is cold and suffocating. The winds whisper in voices not your own, carrying the weight of a terror that never sleeps. Hope flickers here, faint and deceptive. Just enough to keep you crawling forward in a world where God himself has cast you aside. They tell you salvation still awaits, even for the likes of you, but the path winds through the endless black waters of the Stygian Sea, where nameless shapes move beneath the surface. You cling to the promise, though it feels like a lie, and you cling tighter, because lies are all you have left. You watch as your captain yells to you from the bows of the ship, "We're late, and I'm stuck with this lot of sailors. The three of you will have to do. This is your last night before we face something that may take us all. Enjoy it, you three. Where's Bjorn? Tell him to have fun too." And then the captain walks down into the bellows of the ship, presumably to her quarters. Captain Nucky then yells, "One last night, sailors. One last night." Bjorn comes up from the kitchen stockade, the kitchen, comes to all of you and is like,
"Galley."
The galley, that's what it is. Comes to you and says, What? She's crazy. Do you guys want some black sesame rye cake? I made it myself. I'm Bjorn." And gives you all dessert as the knight pairs off and then goes, "I put some devil's grass in it." And you all know devil's grass. It is the only drug you really have here in hell. It gives you hallucinations of the past, of moments you may have experienced in hell or in your past life. Can be fun, can not be fun.
God damn it, Bjorn, I didn't want devil's grass on my last night in hell.
Oh, but come on, it's the last of the devil's grass.
Did we already like take a bite and then Bjorn told us this?
You can tell. You can choose.
Okay. Oh, I definitely ate it and then was told afterwards.
Yeah.
It's just cool. Another reason why I'm angry that I'm here.
Everyone that takes a bite, can you just roll me a d6?
Petey does not think he is worthy of a bite, but also doesn't want to be rude, and so has taken it and is doing the thing that makes a lot more sense with beverages, where it's like you're kind of throwing a sip over your shoulder and pretending to drink, except he's just like throwing bits of sesame cake over his shoulder, like, that's good stuff, boss.
A bunch of hellfire rats are just coming over and they're eating it and then farting
the hellfire
fire.
Rats are munching down on it.
I rolled a 5.
I also rolled a 5.
Great, hey, 2 5s. Matthias and Lakshmi, can you both experience a vision of your past that can be from when you're on the boat or from a time before that? Whatever you tell me here is true. Consider like a little 10 candles moment where I'm giving you the option to tell me a memory you've had. And it can be whatever you want it to be. It is a positive memory. And whatever you tell me about the ship, your surroundings, someone on the boat, that is a truth.
When I first arrived in hell, Matthias was very convinced that he lived a like good and not necessarily holy life, but like a good life. He was a good person, a shoe-in for heaven. And the moment he got here, his first thought was, "I do not deserve to be here." And he has spent the entirety of his time in hell collecting scraps of scripture and like religious iconography, and has slowly molded himself from just like a normal church-going person who clearly didn't live up to the ideals that he thought he did, is physically transforming himself into the visage of a priest, and is like reading scraps of scripture that have been burned by hellfire, has a hell pearl rosary wrapped around his arm, and now has like the high collar of a priest, has added in like, I think the white collar aspect of it was like torn from the hide of some crazy, like, hell crab.
Yeah, it's a makeshift priest thing. Hell yeah.
I think you guys are recognizing, like, someone... Yeah, I think it feels obvious. This guy is, like, cracking. Trying to recreate something that is a vestige, an idea, a platonic ideal of what a priest is. And I think is lacking the actual ability to be that.
Totally.
So I've also bejeweled the deck of the ship with like any kind of crucifixes or like religious iconography I've found, so that like all of the windows have been replaced with stained glass.
Yeah.
And this is all like the stuff that drifted into hell.
I was so, just saying, there'd be like fish bones made into like the shape of a cross, like things where you're like, that's wrong.
It is a combination of things that I have made into religious iconography and things that like religious iconography that found its way into hell that has then been blasphemed on by devils. So like the stained glass was like a picture of like, you know, the crucifixion or something, but now there's like, I don't know, a bunch of people gambling and like fucking on this area that just like totally takes the piss out of what is a religious scene.
It's the Last Supper, but they're all playing poker.
Yeah, the Last Supper, but they're all playing poker. That's exactly what I was looking for.
That's exactly it. It's the Last Supper, but it's the dogs playing poker, right?
Yes.
It's
like 100%.
And
drugs. Some of the dogs are fucking, presumably. Yeah.
And some of the dogs are fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine what if devils got a hold of the most sacred images in Christianity and other religions.
But you're like, it doesn't matter that this has been altered.
Right.
What matters is its original state is what you believe is still holy.
I think I have like put up the thing and I've tried to like, it's only, you know what it is? I'm imagining that scene from Home Alone where the older brother has like a nudie mag on his wall, but has covered up the naughty bits with post-it notes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
There are just a bunch of post-it notes covering up the like blasphemous bits so that you kind of get the sense of a religious scene happening in the stained glass.
I just imagine a statue of Jesus on the cross, but they like drew a big dong on him and you've just like thrown a towel over it.
Yeah. And have given him like a bunch of tattoos and stuff, and you've seen me like plaster over it. So it's like he's trying to reclaim this religious iconography and like these things that to him represent religion, even if that's not actually what is important about religion. It's just another aspect of him not getting it.
There's one that says, like, Jesus eats shit, and the shit is covered with, like, a bunch of
Jesus
fish bones. Jesus eats bread, is what it says now.
Jesus eats...
Matthias has made a bunch of stained glass. There's iconography all over the boat. Every window on this boat is, like, a stained glass window now. very good. What does Lakshmi see after eating this black sesame rye cake with devil's grass? And give us a little description of Lakshmi.
As soon as this was given to her, like immediately, it was immediately stuffed into her face. And she was like, oh, great. And then just put it in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost ferociously was like, oh, this is mine now. I'm going to eat it. Nobody else is going to be able to have it. Or like anything was even vaguely offered. She took it, put it in her mouth. This is edible. What was that? Black sesame?
That's black sesame, cool. Yeah.
What else was that? That's fine. It's okay. And then like
scarf.
Eat now, think later.
Eat now, think later, yeah. For free? Yeah, go ahead. I think she sees can we be like docked somewhere? Or does it have to be like on the ship?
Yeah, you can be docked somewhere. You can give me a, like, yeah, you're in a location. Set the scene for me. What's Lakshmi wearing? What is she, what's she doing?
So the thing that she sees is that we're in, like, I want to say in, like, a tavern of sorts. Like a den, almost. You walk in, it's full of smoke, and there's a bunch of different gaming tables out, and there's a mix of, like, humans in who are being tortured and devils who are torturing and having and just sitting down, but we're all kind of sitting down around these various card tables and gambling tables and game tables together. And Lakshmi's over there. Lakshmi, she's like an Indian woman, kind of young. I think like mid-20s-ish, like pretty young.
Sad. Very good.
And we see her. Very good.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's upsetting to think about.
That's upsetting.
Yeah, no, she died young is the idea.
Oh, Lakshmi.
And she's got like her hair in like a messy braid, and it's like long and matted and gross, but like it's somewhat kept. And we kind of see her like throw some boots on the table. And I think they're like docks. She puts on the table, like Doc Martens, and goes like, all right, I'll put these up, but I want your hat. And is pointing towards like, I don't know, some Captain Hook looking guy, right? And it's like Yar. A big fucking hat with a big old feather in it. She's got like a mismatch of various like outfits on and various clothing on. Is the main draw of her is she keeps like collecting various... Just anything that she thinks looks cool is she's wearing all of it at once. And she's got an eye patch on, but there's like three different eye patches all kind of
just
layered on top of each
face.
Other.
Yeah.
Oh, like covering the same eye, but she like is clearly like...
It feels like the doctor's glasses where like it's a bunch of lenses.
I was going to say the same thing. That's exactly what it feels
like. Different magnifications, except it's eye patches that have like different opacity. I don't know.
When she wants to look extra intimidating, she flips down an additional eye patch.
Yeah. It's all like different. Yeah. Like some of them, like one of them has like a gemstone on it. Another one is like kind of lacy.
The one.
Another one is just like a leather, like solid, like will block everything else out.
Yeah, initials on it that aren't Lakshmi's initials.
That aren't Lakshmi's initials at all. There's just like a Chinese character that she can't read, you know, that nobody knows what it means. And she's like having just a raucous time.
Yeah.
They're playing Teeth.
They're playing Teeth.
So it's upsetting. Her favorite game.
Matthias hates Teeth.
Hates teeth. It's because Lakshmi keeps going, hey, Tobias, you got some pretty good teeth in there. You ever think about, and then like pulls out her pliers that she keeps on her at all times, go click, click, you know?
No, I'm not. No, I'm keeping the chompers, okay? These are my luxury bones, okay? I'm not getting rid of the teeth.
I don't know. I'm sure I can get you better teeth. That's the thing about teeth.
No, these are my teeth. These are teeth made for heaven, okay? These are teeth momentarily beset in hell that will be drifting upwards. I don't need hell teeth, okay?
Oh, guy over here thinks he can get up to heaven with all of his original bones. That's fun. That's cute, you know?
The second I get up to heaven, I'm ditching all of these clothes. I'm getting some wonderful holy garments, and I'm going to be living large and being happy, okay?
Hey, if you think you're going to get rid of those clothes, give them to me. Strip down before you get raised up. All right? How's about that?
You know what? That is absolutely a deal. When I am ascending into heaven after we eat some hell whale meat, great. I will strip off and toss everything down, and you can live large down in hell, okay?
Well, I mean, I guess it's probably nicer clothes up in heaven, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, then keep it. I'll see you up there then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally.
And then Captain Hook kind of like slams the table and goes, I be making this bet now. Everyone around him's like, no, Captain, don't do it. She's going to swindle you. Don't do it. As he places the hat on the table.
And then Lakshmi goes, all right, the deal has been set. And then maybe like some weird devil, like imp looking thing, like collects both of them or collects some like teeth and then separates some teeth in front of us. And then we roll a collection of teeth and the teeth are like some human, some not some weirder
some
ones
other.
There's like a shark tooth in there. There's a tooth that's like wooden. I think that makes sense. And then like there's a tooth with an eye in it, you know. There's a tooth that's moving and we're just rolling all of them.
It's crazy that in all of fantasy I've never seen someone depict a monster that has teeth with eyes in them.
Brian, just like, why?
That's interesting.
I said that like off the cuff of just like weird teeth, but I didn't think about the tooth with an eye in a mouth.
Right? Imagine smile like an eyeless creature like Pan's Labyrinth, and then they smile and you see a blink.
I hate that.
A good monster.
I'm never gonna sleep again.
That's a good monster.
That's a great monster.
I hate being in hell.
For those wondering, teeth works a lot like Past the Pigs.
So you're just rolling teeth, and depending on the orientation of the teeth, you get points.
Which is extra complicated because they're all different shapes.
Yeah, it's kind of like rolling different like dice shapes. You know,
kind of like Magic the Gathering. Some teeth are better than others.
Some teeth are better than others. And human teeth are actually really good. They're like the D6 of teeth.
They're the classic.
Which is why devils play, and they love pulling teeth out in hell.
Great. As you beat Captain Hook. I assume you beat Captain Hook.
Oh, there's a happy memory. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I fucking win the best shit in the world.
You cut back to you in the present time wearing this dope-ass, huge feathered hat.
Yeah.
You see Captain Hook in the distance crying on his ship as he no longer has a dope hat.
I'm imagining a pirate's hat, but it also has like a sombrero, like things hanging from it, but they're all hooks.
Ooh, that's fun.
Or like a fringe, you know what I mean?
Damn, I love that. I love that.
Petey.
Yeah.
You chose to not have any of the dessert with the devil's grass.
Petey's too guilty to enjoy treats and drugs.
I love that he feels too guilty, because this is one of the few moments in hell where consuming the devil's grass does potentially bring on a joyous memory. You chose to not sit in the feelings of hell, to sit in the guilt and shame and disgust. Mm. So why don't you give us a memory from your past when you were alive that illustrates some of that guilt of Petey, and give us a description of Petey while you're at it.
Petey has changed a little bit from our session zero. He is still the guilty. He is still a creep from 1970s New York. He's still a little pervy, if we're being honest. But in general, he was a Wall Street guy who just fully was living the lap of luxury, put himself first, ignored his wife. He had kids. He's lucky if he remembered their, you know, ages. He probably knew their names.
Fully thought you were going to say names. Yeah, I was like, that boy was ready for you to say names.
He knows their names because his son, he insisted, had to be Petey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be even funnier if he forgot that kid's name.
And then,
Petey Jr. is really...
What's your name?
It's right
Daniel?
On the tip of my tongue.
No, it's Petey Jr.
What could it be? And then he has a daughter... I'm not going to lie. Every now and again, he just calls her the little miss. Maybe because he...
Oh, my God.
He forgets.
Holy shit. Fuck Petey.
I thought you were going to say he calls her toots.
Shitty and sexist.
No, he saves toots for the waitresses at the strip clubs he goes to.
That's disgusting.
And Petey just generally, he's one of those guys who he cared so much about his looks and wearing expensive suits and being seen at the best restaurants and all these sorts of things, very much to the detriment of anyone in his life who he should have been caring for. On this occasion, Petey is thinking about the numerous times that he came home very late from work and his wonderful saint of a wife who had waited up and kept dinner warm, and either he had yelled at her because whatever it was, like, wasn't what he wanted to eat, or it wasn't warm enough, or he'd already eaten and how stupid of her to, like, stay up. Why didn't she just go to bed? Of just, like, without fail, he'd come home.
No.
And be mad about the fact that she had made this delicious meal for him and, like, tried to provide, and feels that Bjorn sharing this food with him, that he very much does not deserve that from another person because of the number of times that he pushed away someone who tried to do the very same for him.
Doesn't deserve to share a meal with community.
Doesn't deserve it. Nope.
I do think Matthias relates to Petey a little bit more, only because Petey is like, recognizes that he's guilty and is like living in that, And that feels like someone who's trying to get to heaven, whereas Lakshmi seems to just be like loving hell, is doing hell up.
I was gonna say, in Lakshmi's memory, Petey is off in like a corner, sitting at like a bar, doing that sort of weird juxtaposition of like indulging in drinking, but he's so angry and like under his breath being like, she's fucking all of us over. She's doing these gambling. That's going to screw us all. That's like 15 points against her, but then that's 3 points against me because I'm letting her do it, but she never listens to me. Like he's off raging in a corner.
Yeah.
I like to think that Petey has like a ledger, like with a point system that he made up like hell and heaven points.
Yeah. It works just like the stock market. I guarantee.
Yeah, it's like a fully market fluctuation type thing that you have, and like it goes up and down every day. You have like people's names and like their stock prices for hell and heaven.
I've assigned everybody different stocks and all sorts of things. Right. Yeah, I have a ledger where that's what my book of confessions. Yeah.
I'm pretty bullish on Pride this year.
And I feel like Petey does. He complains to Matthias about how, like, Lakshmi's going to screw them up. The captain's going to screw them up. Bjorn's going to screw them up. But I think that Matthias, honestly, you think you're better than me also. So you only put up with so much of it.
Yeah. I mean, Matthias is better than you.
let's be honest. Most people are.
I love we've created a good like Matthias is like, I don't belong here. Petey is like, I do belong here, and Lakshmi is like, I love it here.
Yeah. She's like, I'm gonna make the best of my situation.
Yeah.
Bjorn noticed that you didn't eat the black sesame rye cake. And I think you
so
usually you never eat so Bjorn's cooking, and just he like leaves it alone. He just like puts the hand on you and he says, "Well, Petey, hope you enjoyed the cake, and you're not that bad of a guy. I did murder."
What?
And just kind of like tries to like comfort you by admitting to his sins.
Matthias just in the back like, Jesus, lore drop. Yeah.
And then Bjorn just is like, yeah, bubbly person, the half Korean, half Swedish cook wearing a full chef's outfit, kind of looks to all of you and says, I haven't seen the captain like this till we saw Hell Whale last time.
What happened last time?
Well, obviously the Hell Whale, we were hunting it to try and save ourselves and find salvation, and I was below deck cooking because I wasn't allowed above deck because I wasn't a senior member. So if we caught the whale, I wouldn't have been allowed to eat it, actually. But that's besides the point. The captain lost something that night. That's when they got that limp that we all know she has.
Yeah,
we didn't get the hell whale. That was quite upsetting, and captain lost most of the crew that day too. But the captain did swear revenge, and if we kill the hell whale now and feast on its flesh, we will get to heaven, which will be pretty cool and pretty good. The captain has some experience now, so.
Oh damn! What did the people not do? What can we do to make ourselves more useful? What do I do, Bjorn?
Yeah, are they really that tough?
And I'm gonna take a soul and do a weak move to judge my worth by my value to others.
Incredible.
And I'm very much like, what were the roles of all the other people? What jobs did they do? What job can I do?
So when we see the whale, we'll have to kill it with, and then kind of like points down below, like the weapon stockade down below, kind of gestures towards below deck and says, well, we have to pierce the whale several times, 13 or so is what the captain says. If we do that, we'll kill the whale and be able to harvest its flesh appropriately. Most of us, well, captain usually takes the wheel. The rest of us are kind of throwing stakes at it. The whale's going to be thrashing about. It's basically terrifying. I wasn't on deck, but the sound sounded horrifying. Lots of screaming. The whale made a lot of people noises that didn't sound natural. It's like people wait, like every time I think it yelled, you heard a cacophony of screaming souls in anguish. Terrible
shit.
Sounds. I dream about it constantly.
Wow. Sounds like a sound designer's nightmare.
Yeah, sounds like a sound designer's nightmare. Good thing that sound exists down here. No one has to design it.
Yeah.
Also, Petey is continuing to feel immensely guilty and is just thinking about every time that Petey Jr. was like, "Hey, man, will you throw a ball with me?" And he was like,
"Hell no."
And he's like, "Had I thrown a ball with my son, maybe I could throw a spear better."
Wow. And you know what, Petey? You're right.
You're right.
Should...
You're absolutely right, Petey. As Bjorn is telling you about the Hell Whale, reliving this harrowing experience, it is getting to around midnight on the ship, and you hear a very familiar, like, three, almost like church bells ringing. A quite ominous bell tones three times. And you know that this is when you all traditionally gamble on deck. This is when Orion, the skeletal casino dealer, comes to play Sicbo.
My favorite guy.
Ooh, oh. Sicbo. And Orion is a skeleton, creepy little skeleton casino, like the dealer.
Croupier.
Like, you know, you go to a casino, like a blackjack croupier. Dealer wearing a little bow tie.
A croupier.
Croupier. Yeah,
croupier. A croupier?
I've never heard that word.
You hear the three bells chime, and smoke kind of fills the air of the ship. Hell is completely dark, but somehow, as the smoke kind of takes over and the fog kind of gravitates around the ship, you see the outline of Orion as he kind of walks aboard the ship slowly, steadily, as if he just manifests here every time it hits midnight. And you hear his footsteps kind of skeletal bones clattering against the wood decks. He kind of appears before you with, in his full little vest and outfit, a sickle with a little lantern hanging above it, as he places the board down below and gestures towards you and kind of in a spooky little skeleton way is like, "Place your bets." And you see a Sicbo board, which is a board that has a bunch of basically outcomes that you can bet on dice rolls. We're going to roll three dice. You can bet souls on different outcomes that will offer different rewards for those outcomes. You all, because we are playing a one shot of this game, you all start with three souls.
Awesome.
Including Bjorn.
Hell yeah. Playing with house money.
You're playing with house money. Petey, you did get a soul for doing a weak move, so you have four souls. So you can bet on any outcome of these dice rolls, whether they're small or big. Small meaning the rolls are anywhere from 4 to 10, big 11 to 17. There are specific numbers you can try and hit, specific outcomes like triples or doubles. They each have different odds and payouts, so choose wisely. Sicbo is a gambling game.
It's fucking sick.
Bo.
Gamble responsibly, folks. Gamble responsibly.
Never.
Okay.
Choose your bets. I'll let you bet for the captain and Bjorn. As the captain makes their way above ship, her in her full little bishop's tattered bishop attire, limp in her step, and she says, "Sicbo time!"
It's the happiest we ever see, Captain.
This is the happiest you ever... Like, this is the only time that the captain has, like, a positive outlook.
I think that's really the only reason that Petey indulges in Sicbo is because it's one of those, like... Because it makes the captain happy, it outweighs the sin of gambling.
Sicbo is the only time where it feels like the vibes in the ship are positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a sin for the Catholics. We gamble all the time.
It is not one of the seven. Although, would it be greed? Would it be pride?
It would be.
I mean, it could fall in there if you're not careful.
If it can't be neatly sorted, it doesn't count as a sin.
Why don't we start? Who wants to bet first?
I love that conversation. If that happened in character at all, Lakshmi's like, it's a sin. It's greed.
Like, I feel like that's what Lakshmi is like.
No.
If
not...
you like twist it a little bit and it's no longer neatly one thing or another, it's like not, you can't, you don't know.
I think Matthias is going to do a weak move and sin as all men do. I think he's been not participating in Sicbo because it is a slippery slope. But he kind of looks at the Sicbo board, sees the captain happy, and goes, "You know what? Last night, I might as well give this thing a try. You know, when in hell, I guess." in hell.
Captain pats you in the back. Attaboy, Matthias. When in hell, do as the sinners do.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bet one on double ones.
Snake eyes.
One on snake eyes. I'm going to do one on 10 and 11, which both pay out 6-1. The double ones pay out 11-1. And then my last soul. I want to do some. I want to do one of the triples just because they pay out so much.
That's so crazy.
It's so
dumb. Do it, Matthias. No, it's
Matthias is going to save his last soul.
Oh, he would.
Oh, okay.
Smart. Smart, because you did get that extra soul after doing a weak move.
Ugh. Lakshmi almost instantly puts down all three of her souls on the same three that she always puts down. She goes, three souls? We're putting triple threes, double threes, single three.
That is such a stupid bet. Whatever.
Playing the same lotto numbers every week. They're gonna. The 1 week you don't play them, that's when they hit.
That's when they hit. I am so mad at you guys.
No. What you don't understand, three souls. So, triple threes, double threes, three single
whatever.
Threes. Do you not? See the vision?
I get it. I see the vision.
Petey, what are you doing?
This is the problem, is that he is not good at gambling. To him, it's the same as like playing the stocks, but the stocks make sense in a way that gambling on the Sigma board does not to him. He's going to go one on any triple, one on a 2 and a 5, one on 16...
This Abby. Is wild.
What?
One on eight.
No, that's it.
Oh my god.
And Petey's like, no, but it all makes sense. Like, it's all because of the patterns and like the way that like they were trading last night and everything. Like, this is, it's gonna happen.
Trust me, the octopus said put it all on.
Yeah.
The captain looks at you, Petey, and is like, Petey, for a finance guy, you are terrible at odds.
Guys, the dice have no memory.
They do. It all comes together. Trust me. I got insider trading this time.
You guys can each choose one for the captain and one for Bjorn.
Captain on big numbers, Bjorn on small numbers.
Okay.
Let's do captain on 11.
Also, Brian, you know by doing that, you just negate whatever you win, right?
No, one of them will win and one of them will lose.
Either way, you'll only walk away, whatever.
With one soul.
You asked me how they bet.
And then I think Bjorn was put on small, so then Bjorn's going to also then put one on 7. But not on 7. But on, is there the one that's the combination of, is...
Yeah, you could do the 3 and 4.
Right, okay, yeah. Lucky number 7.
All right, I feel like we've gone pretty sensible with the captain, but there is a piece of the captain who's like a go big or go home. I mean, she's feeling a little bit desperate, so I think she always puts... You're so right. She always puts one soul on 3 sixes.
Sixes. I love the
She's betting on
that is
hell. She's betting on the devil. She's all her other bets are very sensible because she knows she needs some souls, but if she could get that one, it's a guarantee.
You bet on 666 out of respect when you're in hell.
Exactly. Yes.
That's what it is.
It's like tipping the dealer.
Yeah. And then Bjorn's other soul, I feel like Bjorn also just gonna bet on the 7.
You know, whatever. This is what happens when you let people play with house money. I get it. Okay.
What do okay. you want no, us okay. to bet on?
Hey, I kept one.
Genuinely, I'm like, what? What are the good odds?
We've got a pretty good spread here.
We're a pretty psychotic something. Spread here. Somebody
Listen,
has
hey,
to win something.
Everyone, real quick, think threes. I think want you to do three. This for me, okay? Think three.
You have 16 total souls bet on the table.
Amazing. Cool.
You will hopefully walk away with more than 16 souls when this is completed. I don't think you will, if I'm being honest. But
I don't
who's
think
to
so.
Say? Who's to say? Okay, can each of you roll me one dice?
Think threes.
Oh, man. Think threes. Think sixes for the captain.
Well, hold on. No. Think five!
I rolled a five.
No, Brian!
Abby, please.
I rolled a six.
It's because you thought sixes.
Yeah.
11.
You changed it. You had the magic.
Lakshmi, what'd you roll?
I rolled a four.
So that's 15 total.
Nothing.
So big. We okay, keep so wait, one yeah. soul.
Okay, so we lost the 16, lost 11, lost 10, lost 8.
Oh my god.
Lost seven. Lost small.
We lost 3 and 4. We lost 2 and 5.
Lost double ones, lost double threes, lost any three.
We lost any triple.
Lost any triple, lost triple three. The only thing we won was the captain's bet on a big number, which is 11 through 17. So with 16 souls bet, we won a total of one soul.
That's not great for us.
Guys, gambling pays.
Gambling pays.
You fucking asshole.
So don't we have two souls?
We have two souls.
As a group?
Yeah. Well, no, I saved one.
Matthias has one soul. The rest of you have lost your souls for the night. The captain has two souls and stands up and goes, "Sailors?" And then walks away.
Oh my god.
And like turns to all of you in a little bit of disdain as it's like, "These fucking morons, they can't kill a hell whale."
Petey's gonna do a weak move to take a soul to punish himself. He feels bad both that he indulged in the sickbo and that he let the captain down because he's supposed to be good with numbers, but somehow sickbo just isn't like the stocks. He doesn't understand. And so he's just automatically gonna sort of go. Go, there's like a rope sort of attached with like a sling on the side of the ship and go off the side to start chipping off barnacles, except the water's like a little too high, so he has to get, it's a terrible job. He's punishing himself by trying to do something to help the captain, but it's awful. It's just awful.
Matthias also wants to do a weak move, castigate yourself or others for mortal failings, and Matthias is just kind of walking around angry in that way that I feel like I've experienced this anger when you lose a hand in gambling. Of just like, "God, stupid. That was so stupid. Why did you do that? That was so dumb. So fucking dumb. You've avoided this the entire time you're here, and the one you're a day away from heaven, and you go and blow your God, so stupid."
And Lakshmi's also gonna do a weak move and blow up some steam by taking what isn't hers. I think, wait, what happened to the black sesame bun that Petey didn't eat?
I threw it over my shoulder in pieces, and at least some of it was eaten by Hellrath.
Yeah, there's still a little bit left on the ground.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I think I have a little bit more dignity, but eating, that's not necessarily
eat the
taking what
it's scrap.
Well, actually, it's not dignity. It's just that's not taking what isn't mine. I feel like that's now free for the taking.
It's true.
She'll eat those pieces just because they're available. But I think we'll instead sneak down under deck and just go, "Well, you win some, you lose some." And then I think we'll just start rummaging around in somebody's room. He's upset that Matthias still has a soul and didn't put it all down. And we'll maybe sneak into your room and grab something petty. Something petty that...
I mean, I've got like the nicest like religious artifacts in my room. So there's like a gold cross that's been, people drew dicks on. And stuff.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
Just through all of time.
Like, there's some fancy-ass stuff in here.
I like the idea that, yeah, like, I take, like, maybe, like yes, yeah, like, a cross, like, a small one, and then hang it off of, like, one of the hooks on my hat. So I'm not even, like, hiding it. But I am like, "This is mine now. I'm taking it. I don't give a shit. You have a soul. Fuck you."
Incredible. As you all kind of punish yourselves and do weak moves, Orion takes, like, waves their hand over the board as the souls suck into his skeletal body. And you hear as each soul, like, enters his skeletal form, his bones get a little bit bigger and stronger. And you hear the screaming of each soul as it enters his form.
Souls are made of calcium.
What does stronger bones mean?
Just they bigger? Get denser. You know, they get larger. Yeah. You know, like they kind of like you can visibly see the growth of the
right.
souls
they
that
got
are
veins.
Consumed. Yeah, veiny bones. Yeah, you can see like the veins popping out. Like, yeah,
you get more vascular.
Yeah, I have never wanted fan art more in my life than for someone to draw a vascular skeleton.
Yeah, a very vascular skeleton as they smile and say, "Thank you," and just as they like slam their little scythe on the deck, and immediately all the fog dissipates and Orion is gone. And Lakshmi, I think you hear the thud above deck, and as you do, you start smelling smoke.
Oh. Like bad smoke? Smoke that shouldn't be there?
Something seems to be on fire, and if that is a normal thing for you to smell.
We're in hell.
Every now and again, when Petey goes to do the barnacles, I feel like he grabs a flint instead of like a little, you know, axe thing and will accidentally sort of set fire to the wood of the ship. There's like some burn marks on the side.
That's cute. That's fun.
Yeah, the outside of the ship has tons of scorch marks, but the fire doesn't seem to be coming from the outside of the ship. It feels like it's somewhere on board below deck.
Okay.
And I think Matthias and Petey, you start to smell the smoke as well.
Lakshmi, what the hell did you do?
Nothing. Oh my god. So quick to judge.
Well, it's you.
Point fingers.
It's usually. Is that my cross?
You can't prove that. And it's on my hat. So, fuck you, actually. This ship's on fire or something. Maybe Bjorn burnt something.
Jesus Christ. Get a bucket. Get a bucket.
Whoa. Hey. Whoa. Why is Bjorn getting... Bjorn, no.
Bjorn, no.
Everybody, focus up. I'm going to castigate everyone for their mortal failures and take it on the soul. All right, guys. We got to focus. We're not going to worry about theft. We're going to worry about the fucking fire on the ship. Let's go. Everybody grab a bucket.
I was going to say, Petey's going to do a weak move and ask how I can make it up to them of he feels bad about losing the souls, and he's gonna sort of pretend to be a hero and start like running through trying to find where this is coming from in the ship, but he's like not being
helpful,
careful or smart about this. He's just sort of desperately running to try to find it, because if he can find it, then maybe he can help.
Pocket Bard is a free audio app that helps game masters weave immersive sound into their games. Pocket Bard's design is intuitive and simple to use, but I don't want to just say that. I want to prove it to you here and now. So the rest of this ad you're going to hear is going to be live and uncut while I am actively using the Pocket Bard app. So to start, let's set the scene. Imagine your party has entered a new location, a small town. With just one click, we hear that ambience coming in, but maybe I want to augment the sound of that town a little bit. Maybe the crowd is a bit bigger than what we're hearing here. With just one click, I can add more crowd in. Maybe all of a sudden the skies begin to slightly darken and a rain begins. We can hear that rain start over here. Maybe that rain gets a little bit heavier. Maybe the skies darken even more and we hear thunder and wind whipping around behind us. And all of a sudden, the air drops, the temperature drops, everything feels a little bit more intense, as all of a sudden, you get to say those three magic words as a game master: roll for initiative. And with just one click, that combat music comes in. We can increase or decrease the intensity with the intensity slider, and there are even one-shot sounds that you can use, like the town bell tolling in the background, letting the town know they're under attack. Maybe your ranger is drawing their bow and firing an arrow, and maybe your spellcasters are slinging spells left and right. The whole time you are doing this with just little clicks on your phone, it is incredibly easy to use and very intuitive. It's something I could actually use in my home game to make my sessions more immersive and exciting. So if you want to learn more about Pocket Bard, you can search for it in the App Store or by visiting pocketbard.app.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you?
Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Are you going below deck to find it?
I think if he could tell it's coming from like below.
Yeah, totally.
Deck, or if he saw smoke coming out of like a porthole or something.
Yeah. Because you're on the side of the ship, right? You've been knocking barnacles out. Yeah, it's coming from a porthole for sure. It's the porthole to the captain's room.
Yeah, Uh-oh. Shit. The captain's in trouble, everybody! Or she's just smoking. It's hard to tell. She may have gotten out of control.
There's a lot of smoke.
Smoking's a sin! And he's gonna take off.
I'm just going down and banging on the captain's quarters, being like, hey, captain, permission to enter. There's smoke coming out. Are you okay in there?
Yeah, you run down. The smoke is like billowing from the glass doors that you've kind of like, these were like glass office doors, Matthias. And as you've gone on your little like stained glass window kick, like there's fully just stained glass over the glass doors. You used to be able to see through it, but now you can't.
Can I touch the handle and feel if it's hot?
Yeah, you do. It's burning hot.
I'm just going to dip my hand in the water and like wrap my vestments in it or something, or some kind of cloth. And I'm going to have everybody back up. And I'm going to open the door and like pull it behind me so that there's going to be some kind of like backdraft from the fire. So I'm opening up and trying to like hide behind the door as that happens.
Yeah, you open the door to the captain's quarters. You've never seen the inside of the captain's room. They are a secretive person. And as you do, Matthias, like, the doors open, you see flames engulfed in this room, and the captain standing, arms behind her back, and just watching the flames burn. And as the flames burn, you see this giant heart covered in black, gooey, like, ichor, like, kind of stuck to the wall as if it was, like, posted there. And the captain just mumbling to herself, if I don't have enough souls, I'll burn you out, you motherfucker. I'm coming to get you. And is letting this room burn on fire. But you all know, if you let this fire burn, the boat will sink. The captain
I'm running in and I'm pulling back the captain. Captain, Jesus, what's the... And I'm tossing my bucket of water on the heart to try to put it out.
It's an unholy fire, you fool. That water's not going to help.
Ah, shit, Captain, get out of there!
And the captain just walks out and says, save the ship, that's a direct order, you fools. And
aye,
just walks above deck. You are facing a physical knot. Because this is a fire, your ship automatically takes 2 damage to seaworthiness.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
And because we are playing a shortened game, seaworthiness is the health of your ship. There's a health track called wrecked. If you spill out the full word of wrecked, your ship sinks and you die.
No.
Because we are starting a shorter session, you already had 2 letters on wrecked filled out. With 2 more, you have WREC.
We got 2
completely
more?
Completely filled. Yeah.
Jesus, okay. So we're already like halfway to fucked. Is what you're saying.
You're halfway to fucked. And I will say you do have repair supplies on the ship. You have about 10 units of repair supplies, so you can repair some of this. But
it costs
5 supplies to repair 1 letter on the table.
How big is the knot? Like mechanically, what is the...
Yeah, mechanically, it's a physical knot. It's, you need to do two things to, or it requires two souls, essentially, to fix. And you throw water on it, and as you do, Matthias, the flames get larger and start to kind of like... They're like, it almost like grabs at you as if it's trying to pull you in. And the heart seems unaffected completely.
Can I do a strong move, and I want to strike with righteous fervor, and also kind of a stand against evil thing? I'm going to pull my cross off of Lakshmi's hat, like partially tearing the hat, and I'm going to stab it. I'm going to like put it through my fingers like a punch knife and stab into the heart.
Oh, that's cool.
Trying to stop it. Just trying to like force this religious relic inside, hoping that will stop the fire.
Ooh.
Damn, Matthias.
That's really cool.
Yeah, Matthias, you take the cross off Lakshmi's hand, you punch into the heart, and as you do, the heart punches back into you. You feel it ripple through your body. And Matthias, this heart isn't a fun, lovely thing. It is the heart of the most terrifying beast in hell. What do you see that absolutely terrifies you?
I think I see, like, void. I think it's not that I'm seeing lots of things. I think it's that I'm seeing the trueness of nothing, which I think is a thing that I can conceptualize and I can vaguely understand, but to truly understand obliteration and nothingness is something that only... that like a beast, a hell whale, can truly understand until you experience it. And by the time you experience it, there's nothing left. There's no ability to understand it because you are nothing. For a moment, Matthias has a true understanding of obliteration and nothing.
You feel that nothingness. It like kind of stays in you for a second. And as you come back to the heart, you feel this, Matthias, because your hand is directly in the heart.
100%.
The heart fully beats and makes a noise that is thunder, and all of you are pushed back against whatever walls can catch you.
Ah, shit!
Jesus!
God.
That's some strong smoke!
As you punch the Hell Whale's heart, the flames go completely down. And after the heart beats and pushes you all out and you hit the walls, the flames come right back up. I'm going to make you take a point of damage on the claimed track, which is your collective health track on the table.
That's
you
right,
all
we
share
have group
a crew health.
Health
pool, essentially. So on the claim track, if you spell the word claimed, whoever takes that last piece of damage on that track dies.
Fuck.
Love a group health track. That's fucking
cool.
Rad.
Big fan.
It's funny because I can just add to it, but as long as I'm not the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the last one.
Really, it lets you be petty. As I get buffeted back by this blast and like getting ripped out of the nothingness, I want to do a weak move. And in the state of still living in that absence, that void, I just want to say into the void, there is nothing there for my vocal cords to hit. There's no atoms to vibrate to let this sound be heard. And the words, "Why has he forsaken us?" are never actually uttered into this space, only mouthed. And I gain a token for doing a weak move.
You gain a soul. Take a big juicy soul for that one.
That's really good.
A screaming soul.
We love that. Great.
Mechanically, I'm curious. Does that... Brian spent a token to tackle this knot. Does that still, even though like this was a kind of a you know, it didn't solve the problem, is that still a step forward for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
You still move forward one. So when you have a knot, it'll usually have like a number next to the knot. Mm-hmm. This one has two, meaning you need to do two strong moves, essentially. Use two souls or an equivalent of a soul to complete the knot. Brian took out one, so it's now just one more soul left to complete the knot.
Okay.
Lakshmi, you got any ideas?
I can do one of my strong moves, which is, what did you say the captain was doing? Just walked up deck?
The captain ordered you to put out the fire and then walked up deck You feel the boat like erratically change course. Like it is shifting very, very erratically in a way that if you've all driven the boat at one point, you're like, this is not how you do that.
Right. We're pitching hard to one side in a way that like the mast is almost like the tips of it are almost like dipping.
Yeah.
In
you, like
the water
you hear the boat like tipping and like the wood cracking and like you hear a few of the stained glass kind of shattering from it.
Just by the boat flexing into just, the wrong position. Yeah.
What the hell is she doing?
Matthias is fully disassociated right now. Like, I think a glimpse into the void by its lack of anything also existed for who knows how long.
Right.
I love that. I love oblivion being something that paralyzes the holy man. It's very fun.
And the fires are starting to now catch onto the roof and, like, the top of the like the roof of
the
captain's room, the ceiling, that's what it is. The ceiling has caught fire and collapses inward into the room. You can now see the darkness of hell above.
Ooh, fun. I'm asking what the captain's doing because I want to spend a token for my strong move, which is ask what do we need right now? And I think like seeing that happen, the water not putting out hellfire, the holy relic not doing anything, or like the holy relic it fighting back to that, I want to yell out to the captain, all right, captain, if we can't put this fire out with water, what do we need?
It's an unholy fire. You need holy stuff.
Oh my god. All right.
Don't oh my god me. Don't oh my god me, Lakshmi. Are you kidding me? Well, also, give me my freaking earrings back, you idiot. You know what? After this, you're punished.
We have a problem to do with this.
No, you're punished.
No.
You're punished. I'm done with you're punished.
Lakshmi, I know where we can get some holy stuff.
Petey?
Captain!
Oh, sorry, Petey, you're helping. Never mind. Go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were talking back. Don't cry. Petey, don't cry.
Petey, come on. There's
Petey's
nothing to cry
paralyzed
about.
With guilt, but does know that there's a whole bunch of holy stuff that maybe has been blasphemed, but still was holy at some point in Matthias's room. Because I've 100% seen Lakshmi stealing from there.
Yeah, Lakshmi, you have like a key to Matthias's room.
Oh, yeah. I forged it. It's whittled.
It's whittled.
I think also Lakshmi has like kind of picked Petey's belongings clean, but also you've lost the fun of it because I kind of feel like every time I'm mad about it, but then I'm also like, I don't deserve pants.
Yeah.
So the fact that you took them.
I think I fully wear your pants in front of you on like almost a daily basis. And at first it was fun, and now it's just like, I think these are just my pants now. Like, you don't
You've seen
think you
the
deserve
pants.
Them?
I was just like, got upset for a minute, and then it didn't last. And now you're like, well, but that's no fun.
Yeah. Lakshmi kind of jumps to action. She grabs various holy trinkets and just puts them in a bucket. And or puts them in like a bucket of water and then I think like shakes it around
trying to make holy water.
That's how you make holy water. You throw some crosses in a cocktail shaker. Wow, this is
I
feel some kind of way about the element of blasphemy of this game. I think I'm going to have to reckon with some kind of Catholic guilt after this game.
Is that holy water is made?
That's extremely funny.
It's so funny. I think, and then, oh my god, I love the idea that it's like she's making a cocktail. I will also get a soul for taking what's not mine.
Incredible.
As I pull out what I think is like anointing oil, is what I assume you have.
Sure.
What do we?
And it's maybe like turned really weird and shit like that. But then I put like a drop of it in there as if it's like I'm putting bitters in the fucking oil. And then I'm gonna splash.
Everything in that bucket has like disintegrated. Like it is as if like acid has.
Yeah.
Everything, so it's all just like this like green liquid that you've now created.
Gotta add an egg white, froth it up.
Yeah.
Add an egg white, froth it up.
It's foamed at the top.
I love that. And yeah, I think I do like a big toss of it big, like, almost like tossing a wide net of water to hit as much as I can.
Totally. You cast this water onto the flames, and it gets on the heart as well, because you're just kind of tossing it loosely. The flames once again die down, and you feel you see the heart. This heart is evil. You've made holy water, which does terrible things to demons, to those of the devil. The heart itself, you see the water soaking into the heart. The ichor around it kind of starts to wave, and then the heart kind of, it looks like as if it's like imploding on itself a little bit. As if it's like a black hole, kind of. And you hear like a gurgling start to emanate from it before another beat of thunder kind of, you know, like erupts from the heart, and the holy water flashes back onto all of your skin, and it burns so much. You feel it singeing your skin as it feels almost like acid.
Love that.
Oy.
But the flames have calmed down. You have solved this physical knot, but it has come at the cost of another track on your claim table going down.
Okay.
Matthias gets kind of lost in the black holeness of this heart, like it being kind of echoes of that void that he glimpsed. And he gets, like, starts to kind of like dissociate seeing that, and like you see a fear coming over his face. And then as he gets splashed with holy water, like what he recognizes is holy water, and having it burn him.
Oh, I needed to know this, yeah.
I think this is again him asking, like, why has he forsaken us? Like, to be splashed with holy water as someone who is pious, and to have it burn, confirming the fact that you are not holy in a way that is difficult to avoid. I think you guys just hear the clack of Hell Pearl Rosary beads as Matthias is just ticking along. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And it's just knocking out Our Fathers and Hail Marys.
Oh, I love that.
Every time you say an Our Father and Hail Mary, your mouth hurts.
Oh.
You feel the pain of those words. You all also get, well, first off, fire's done. Good job, guys. You all get a soul for listening to the captain's orders, because that's the captain's lore.
Yeah.
So take a soul for that, you sweet, sweet children.
Because each of us has lures. If anyone reaffirms my moral compass, they get to gain a soul.
And if you affirm me that something isn't my fault, you get a soul.
Right. And then when someone offers me something useful, they gain a soul.
Wait, so can I get a soul? Wait,
I was just going to...
Correct.
For suggesting...
Petey, get a soul for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, for suggesting what?
For suggesting that we raid your room for holy items.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But then I was going to say, what do we need to do to do these repairs with some of the supplies? What does that take?
You have about 10 like pieces of repair gear, like rope, wood. So using 5 of those units will repair one. You also have like a med kit and stuff. You can repair either something on the claim track or something on the seaworthiness track.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to spend a soul, or it's just like an action?
No, it's just it's using your repair, your 10 units of repair supplies. Oh,
Petey is going to do like a little double whammy of do a weak move to ask how can I make it up to them? Because even though he thought he was really clever with saying like, oh, let's get those holy items, and the fire did go out, he's feeling very guilty about the literal backlash of all of us getting splashed with holy water. So he's going to do that weak move to take a soul. And then he is going to, without asking anybody, use 5 of the repair like tools to erase one from the wrecked track. So we now only have 3 instead of 4, because I feel like that's going to get problematic really fast.
I love that.
I think Matthias finally like comes out of his like religious oblivion stupor. Man, I think if you had knocked off the claims track, Matthias was going to get fucking pissed at you. Matthias was going to get so pissed. Because I think Matthias is like recognizing like our bodies here don't matter. Like we're a day away from heaven. What matters is keeping this ship together. And so Matthias is also going to take 5 things and knock another one off the wreck track.
Oh, so we're all clear.
We have a W and an R.
But we have no ship supply anymore.
I want to get us as close to clean as possible.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, you're fresh out of repair supplies now. You are at zero. You still have 20 weapon stockades, though. 20 spears.
Okay.
As I'm repairing, so I'm like fixing the captain's ceiling, which I guess is like right, like her ceiling is the floor to where like the steering wheel is and where the navigational center is. And I'm just, like, as I'm hammering stuff and like putting stuff back together to make this thing as seaworthy as possible, I'm just looking at the captain like, Captain, what the hell was that? Why were you didn't want to help? I got on your ship because you said you could kill a hell whale, okay? I trusted you. And you just were letting a fire go in your fucking room, setting it? What is happening?
The captain looks at you silently, walks down to where you are, Matthias. The captain's been around for a minute, and there have been many rumors you've heard about this character, this person. And you rarely interact with them, admittedly. They are your captain. They give you orders. But they are an enigma almost to their crew. And that being for you or themselves, who's to say? But rarely are they challenged in this way. As the captain, Captain Uki, looks at you, repairing their roof, looking down below, reaches into the room from above deck, grabs you by the chest, pulls you up, holding you to her face and says, "Who do you think you are, you absolute worthless piece of filth?" And then tosses you.
As she goes to toss me, I'm going to grab her back and like force her to either, whoa, she's either coming with me or it's stopping her action.
Oh shit.
I say if you use a soul, you can tell me what happens here.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to use a strong move to strike with righteous fervor. Matthias thinks he's right here. This captain, like, is promising salvation and is, like, leading us into one of the most dangerous situations we could possibly get to in hell for a chance of salvation, and is fucking around. And Matthias is going to pull her down in through me. I think we, like, tumble ass over tea kettles onto the bed and, like, bounce off it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at her and be like, "Listen, you told me you could get us out of hell. You said a hell whale was something that you knew how to kill. And quite frankly, I don't know how to believe that when you're still stuck down here. So don't tell me anything about this. All right? You're in the same position as me. You're not any better than me. I don't deserve to be here. And I'm thinking that if you haven't gotten out of here yet, then you probably do. But I've hitched my wagon to yours, okay? So we're going to go. We're going to shove a bunch of spears and a bunch of harpoons into this whale, and we're going to have ourselves a little feast, and then I'm getting the hell out of here, and the two of us never have to speak again. But until then, we're going to operate together to get out of here. And you're going to start acting like a fucking captain and not like a lunatic."
Look at this guy. The captain starts laughing at you.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
And then defiantly spits in your face. "Matthias, you are exactly where you belong."
"I don't belong here. I know that. You've been here long enough, you've learned how to truly lie, not only to me, but to yourself. I know I don't belong here. Some kind of cosmic accounting error was made, and I'm getting out of here. I'm taking all the steps. If the thing I have to do is kill a hell whale, then I'm going to do it, with or without you. So why don't you get on board, grab my toadtails, and ride them up to heaven with me?"
Oh my
are
God.
You, are you doing a mutiny here? Are you going to say I'm the captain now?
I think Matthias is very close.
While this is happening, I'm going to do a weak move and try to fix something that isn't yours to fix. And Petey's going to pull himself up through the hole in the ceiling, just clamber over the two of you to go to the wheel of the helm of the ship.
Captain, as you're doing this, grabs your leg and pulls you down.
Oh, Captain, I thought it
And, like, pulls you down and says, Petey Lakshmi?
Yeah.
Throw Matthias overboard. That's an order.
Oh.
Oh.
Shit.
Do it now.
Oh, I'm going to regret this. I'm going to ask, what's in it for me?
The captain looks at you, Lakshmi, and says, Lakshmi, you'll be obeying the order of your captain. We will find salvation together and we'll be done with this traitorous wretch who thinks he's better than us.
Don't think. No.
And you can keep my earrings. You can keep my earrings. You can keep my earrings.
Lakshmi, Petey, throw the captain overboard.
Petey is going to do a strong move and seize a moment and deal with the consequences later and throw himself overboard.
But... Petey!
What? Petey knows that Matthias is a better person than him, but he can't disobey his captain, and so he panics and he's going to seize a moment and hopefully make everyone happy by a body going overboard.
You're trying to relieve the tension?
Yes.
That's really funny.
Okay.
Oh my god.
You go overboard and Matthias immediately goes, God damn it, Petey.
Yeah, the captain's like, shit, Petey.
I'm gonna run over and throw a life, what is that, the ring? What was
yeah,
that called?
Yeah, yeah. The captain also does the same thing as like helping you like throw the life preserver over. But as you all go above deck, Lakshmi, what are you doing?
A part of me is like, I'm like, I think Lakshmi is the type of person that would just act in. If Petey jumps over, I was gonna use a. I'm really wishy-washy about this beat for some reason. It's mostly because I'm looking at my souls. I'm gonna spend a soul to just jump to action, and help someone by offering them something of yours. And Lakshmi's going to, she's got like a collection of belts, and similarly to everything else, they're belts that are all stringed together. So it's like this one long kind of almost
they're all
bandolier.
Like buckled in and
yeah, buckled into
around.
Each other.
That's pretty dope,
and just
actually.
So takes one thing off and then just kind of jumps over, grabs another rope, pulls out the belt, grabs Petey with it, or like tosses it to Petey to be like, you're going to fucking grab onto this and you're going to get back up. Because you're a fucking idiot, and this isn't helping anyone.
Lakshmi, as you do this, you reach out your hand to grab Petey. Petey, you are in the water. Not many people survive jumping into the Stygian Sea. This is the seas of hell. But it's eerily still. And as Lakshmi reaches their hand out, you hear one thunderous boom, as if like a bomb exploded on the ship. You see from the waters wood kind of rise into the air as the heart beats one more time. And the captain, Matthias, looks to you and goes, oh no, we're here. And Matthias, as you look up, you see the skeletal remains of a ship that's been left for what seems like ages. It looks old and dark and decrepit, and you seem to have been docked here for quite some time. You are looking at an old cavernous ship, a skeletal menagerie, if you will. And Petey, as you open your eyes under the water, as clear as day, you see a whale. Petey, you see a figure in the distance, and your body reacts almost instantaneously. Your insides feel like they are curling up, and your body just wants to not be where you currently are. As the figure comes into your eyesight, you see yellow, jagged teeth grinning at you. They're not sharp in any way, but they are disgusting and terrifying. These teeth are grinning at you as if it is excited. Its eyes are deep, dark red. And slowly and steadily, you realize you are staring down a hell whale.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by +1 EXP. Grab your own copy of Hellwhalers at +1EXP.com and use the promo code MFD10 for 10% off your entire order. This episode features the voice talents of Chenuk Tissera, Abby Hepworth, Brian Flaherty, and Vidithya Valetti. This episode was produced by Elliot Davis. Editing by Brian Flaherty. Sound design by Jay Stroutman. My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production. If you're hearing this, that means you have listened to every last second of this episode, and that probably makes you a fan of this show. Well, if you're a fan and you like what we're doing and want to help others find it as well, then consider leaving us a 5-star review over on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Getting more ratings really does help more people find the show, and reading your nice words about the things that we put out into the world makes us feel all warm and good inside, and we want more of those good, good feels. So head on over to your podcast player of choice and leave us a 5-star review. Thanks.